downtown for three. It's 56-45 at the half.
You're listening to Hamster Wheel Sports, where we refuse to talk about any sissy things that aren't relating directly to sports.
None of that sissy shit.
I'm your host, Matt Seeley. I'm here with Air Jordan Minchinton. It's such a shame that I came up with that great nickname so late in the game here.
It's okay. We're just getting started, baby. This is rookie season.
It had to wait until the finals were over until I thought, why don't I call him Air Jordan? And here's Book Bratch.
Jay-Z's throwing out a tweet storm right now, so everybody pull up his profile. His latest tweet, too many fab... Black people really magic. Mac Miller nice too, though.
I don't understand. Can you break that down for me, Jordan?
As our senior black analyst, I don't know what the fuck Jay-Z's talking about, man.
Well, as the junior black expert, he's clearly saying there's so many great people. I love black people. Mac Miller's also cool, though.
Excellent.
Well, I'll have to take your word for it. So here we are. We've had days to digest what was the NBA Finals between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors, who became the eventual champions in five games, overcoming the Cleveland Cavaliers. So let's put a cap on this season and talk about an amazing historical NBA Finals. Tons of records smashed, even though it was five games. There was so many records and exciting moments. Would you agree? And it was closer than a gentleman's sweep.
Yeah, it was exciting. It had excitement. I think ultimately the big disappointment is the Cavs blowing Game 3. Because it looked like we might have a series. And as soon as they went down 3-0, like, Game 4 was awesome. It was great to see the Cavs just... blow the lid off the bucket. They were just draining everything. Broke the NBA record for most threes in the playoffs. But you knew they weren't going to win. Like, as in they weren't going to win the series. There was no way they were going to win four in a row. And just the fact that that game, Game 4, it still felt like Golden State could come back despite everything going right for the Cavs. They could not miss anything. But yeah, Game 3 was the big disappointment because that game the Cavs controlled and they blew it at the end.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It falls directly on the shoulders of Kevin Love, who blew the Cavaliers season because of that 4-point swing when he had that bunny right under the hoop. He was under the hoop. He got the rebound and he was boarding like madman in that game. But all he had to do was just hit that layup, and he didn't. And it was a 4-point swing. Steph Curry went the other way on a fast break layup. And so then the lead was cut to 4 as opposed to it being whatever. I'm so bad at remembering these minute details. But the point is...
yeah, they had it with
I believe three. They hold on if Kevin Love hits that.
Well, I think Game 3, I mean, it was a general Philly all around. The offense really stagnated at the end there. Kyrie was playing big-time hero ball. Klay was stepped up his defense, and he just took some terrible shots. They weren't moving the ball. And it's funny... in the finals in Game 7, Kyrie pulls up in that big possession. It's the big three, and everyone's talking about that. It was clutch. That was big time. He kind of tried to do it again, and he misses. And now, you know, looking back, you're like, man, I can't believe in that critical possession. LeBron was on the other side of the court, not even close to the play. But, yeah, they just didn't execute their offense very well, and Golden State did. And that one, Durant was so clutch.
And then when they have, oh, yeah, that... So Durant's unforgettable. Probably the best moment of the finals when Durant hits that three.
In LeBron's face. Yeah.
Yeah, and I knew, I think we all knew, before he even raised up for the shot, that he was going to shoot a three and it was going to go in.
I didn't think that, actually.
Really? Yeah. What did you think was going to happen?
I thought he was going to miss.
Really?
Yeah.
I had such confidence it was going in, mostly because I was rooting against Kevin Durant to every shot that he hit. I mean, the guy goes...
it did look good, though, as soon as he released it. But yeah. As he was pulling up, LeBron got, like, a decent contest, and it was kind of deep. But, yeah, that was cold-blooded, though.
I mean, he said it after the game. He's been practicing that shot his entire life. And, like you said, you could see him when he was dribbling up the court. You're like, this is in rhythm. This is a KD shot. It's a typical KD shot.
So Steph hits two free throws. And then they're down three. LeBron catches the inbound on the in the corner, and he Iggy is defending him, and he kicks him pretty hard.
Well, first of all, Iguodala, that was risky. He could have been called for fouls.
Yes, he could have. Oh, God, I was scared for my life.
He put the power in the ref's hands there, because that was definitely close enough that a ref could have called that.
On LeBron James on the final possession of the NBA final, yeah.
But imagine the drama, though. LeBron, who struggled all year with his free throws, shot under 70% for the first time in his career, I think. I don't think he'd ever done that before. Has to go to the line, and he has to hit all three to win this game that they have to win. Imagine that would be the most exciting free throws I've ever seen.
I think you could make a case for free throws being a big... Man, it's so cool to see the free throws, and I think this is a case for pressure being the deciding factor between over free throw percentages. You look at a guy, Steph Curry, didn't miss a free throw the entire playoffs until, game three of the finals? And then in game four, missed like three or four free throws. And you're like, wow, the pressure that's on this guy. A guy that, and a guy like LeBron, who he famously said before the playoffs, oh, don't worry, I'll have my free throw. It's got to get up above 80. I'll get it above there. Did not, was not
able.
Well,
he did shoot better in the playoffs. I'll give him that. But he definitely didn't get to 80. Though.
Not 80,
He shot above 70 at least.
Cavs shoot... I noticed in game three. Game three was the one where it's like, okay, let's see if the Cavs can win this one, make it a series. They shot 60% in the first quarter. LeBron had shot 7 of 8. He had 15 points, and they were still trailing at the end of that first quarter. So it's just like...
That's what's so crazy watching that series, because Golden State on an off game coasts to like 120 points. Like, you have to break records and have the refs in your back pocket just to keep up with them.
I'll never forget that regular season game where the Spurs were up by, got up by 20 plus in the first half, and by halftime the Warriors had erased that deficit. And then they just knew at that point,
it's over.
This team can come back from anything, from any deficit at any time.
Well, what killed him in game three, I think, was Kevin Love. He had a tough night shooting. He came back strong and killed in game four, but by then the series is over, right? What really hurt the Cavs, though, is LeBron was money every single game. It was everyone else, especially... I mean, it's kind of a thing, generally, that role players play a lot better at home. And that was definitely the case. In Golden State, the role players were non-existent. No one showed up. It was... You know, you saw a little bit of Kyrie magic here and there. Love played decent, and LeBron killed it. But LeBron is nothing compared to the Warriors. You need, right? Like, you look at game three, finally the role player stepped up, a bunch of monster games. Game four, Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith played very well.
Man, J.R. Smith was fucking bananas.
Oh, he also...
Later in the series.
That garbage three shot right at the very end.
That was cool.
And it shifted, it allowed the Golden State didn't cover because of that.
Yeah.
Didn't cover the spread.
Did not cover the spread. From a garbage time three, J.R. Smith.
What does that mean? Is that a betting term?
Gambling terminology.
Yeah, so if you had bet on the Warriors, you would have lost because he hit that three. Then you would have needed the Warriors to win by eight.
Wow. Spoiler, J.R. Too little, too late. It reminds me of in Cavs Warriors 1, when, again, J.R. Smith took forever to get going in that series. And then, in game six, when they're when it's over and Warriors are going to win their first title, J.R. Smith just starts hitting all these impossible threes in the fourth quarter. I'm just like, this is so frustrating me. He's been frustrating me for 3 years. He, like all the other Cavaliers besides LeBron, just got on too late in this series. And it was so frustrating. Everybody. And why? Tristan Thompson is supposed to be there,
Well, he showed up in, the last couple of games, and then you're like, where was this the first two games?
Yeah, this is something we talked about before the series, though. We talked about the role players needing to step up for them. We talked about, you mentioned J.R. Smith being an improved perimeter defender for them, he being the option, and like you said, on the road, first two games. I think the stat was the Warriors were shooting a combined 90% on J.R. Smith in the first two games, and then come back home, game three and game four, he lights up that flamethrower. Man, J.R. Smith was terrifying if you were not rooting for the Cavs. He was scary. Same as Tristan Thompson, the guy. He gives Warriors fans fits and nightmares over his offensive rebounding. And for the first, I think, three games of the series, Steph Curry out-rebounded him.
Yeah. He out-rebounded him in one of the games. He out-rebounded
his total
him for the
entire yeah, game. For the series. So,
why does that happen? Games. Is the stage too big?
I think this is what happens when you got a guy, LeBron James, LeGM, who's essentially holding this franchise hostage, and he's got two guys in Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith that are both signed to his agency, and he's holding out on contracts so that they get paid, and now you've got guys on your roster named Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith that are making way too much money, and Iman Shumpert, too much money for their roles.
I disagree. I think Tristan Thompson is definitely paid according. $15 million with what the contracts are getting is definitely worth what Tristan Thompson gives you.
And he did sign that contract before the trend. Right. So,
and at the end of the day, like LeBron, like he's also the reason they're so far into the luxury, right? So like, if it wasn't for LeBron, yeah, you wouldn't have these contracts, but you also wouldn't be spending so much money, right? LeBron forces them to, or else he'll leave.
But if he's playing at full capacity, then they have a shot. Like, that's the thing, is towards the end of the series, it looks like they're...
Well,
I think you're expecting too much from a role player named J.R. Smith in the NBA Finals.
No, but you also gotta, like Game 3, the guy that had... They had an open corner three from Kyle Korver. He's gotta hit that, right? Like,
yeah. That's another thing. All these old gamey vets that surrounded... Perhaps it was like LeBron seeing the Boston model of when they won it all in 2008. They had, like, James Posey, Eddie House, all these super old vets.
No, but it worked for LeBron, though, too, right? Like, he you're right. He took that model and he applied it, right? He got Ray Allen, who was big. Mm-hmm. And the Heat always had rounded out the rosters with kind of cagey guys.
It just didn't work this time.
And this time, I mean, it's just a...
D-Will laid it in.
Sometimes the shots don't fall.
Korver just didn't have his shots falling. D-Will...
D-Will was there. Oh, Kyle Korver had some good minutes, so like he took a charge, he had a dunk.
No, but he didn't have a shot going.
Right.
And that was the difference in Game 3. If he hits that corner three, right, they win. Or, well, you think they win. And now, they could play. They clearly show that they can play with them at home. It was just in Golden State. Golden State's just relentless, and that energy in that crowd...
That's the thing, though, is I feel like the Cavaliers have proved that if it's the NBA Finals and they're playing at home and everything is in line perfectly and they turn the light switch on, then they can play with the Golden State Warriors. If you catch the Warriors hungover on a Tuesday, they're going to play like that.
Yeah. You know, it gave me deja vu to that OKC and Houston series is whenever LeBron sat... They just crumbled.
He was a minus 12 in like a minute and a half that he sat in game three?
Yeah. It was too much.
Yeah, that's the difference between a team, an offense, an entire franchise that's built around one guy. They depend on him emotionally and like for so many things. Whereas you look at a team, a team chemistry, a team... First basketball with the Warriors, where it doesn't matter who you roll through the system. Granted, if it's Kevin Durant, the system picks up quite a bit. But their role players come through, it doesn't matter. They keep cycling them through, and they keep... I love that team system basketball that they stole. They ripped it straight from the Spurs. And I think that's the difference, is when you base it on a guy like LeBron, he's got to sit sometime. And he sits, and their team just fell apart when he was on the bench.
Yeah, but the thing is, he only has to sit for like a minute and a half. I think it's... People are criticizing the Cavs makeup and the construction of the roster. These guys are just as good as last year, and they won the championship. Mm-hmm. The Cavs didn't change. They have a winner, or a team that would be a winner, 99% of the time. But they just happen to be up against the greatest team ever assembled. Or, you know, even if you are enormous Bulls homer, the second greatest team, without a doubt. Like, you can't go any lower than that. That's the reason they lost this year. Like, I don't know. The Cavs are a great team. And so to be like, well, it's poorly constructed roster. You know, they shouldn't have signed Thompson or JR. Like, this team is like they're just as good as they were last year, maybe even better.
I buy it.
It was just their big rival who won 73 games last year added Kevin Durant, and that's why it was funny. I went to the bar for one of the games, and it was at the Charles Bar in Gastown. It was packed. There's a lot of big basketball fans, and there was most of the people there were Golden State fans, and there was a ton of jerseys out. And I was like, how do you guys enjoy this? It's just...
Here's a conversation I had with Matt before I came here is, to me, if you're a basketball fan and you're watching the Golden State Warriors play, just watching the ball fly around the court, they play basketball the right way. It's a joy to watch.
Oh, no. Okay, I take that back. I love watching Golden State play, but I'm always rooting for them to lose. That's what I mean. Like, even despite the fact that individually I like every single one of their players, even though I find Draymond... Yeah, he can be kind of annoying, but I love Steph and Kevin Durant, but, like, the fact that they're all assembled, I always wanted to lose, because it's just,
It's the David and Goliath thing, exactly. Which I understand, I understand
the story behind it. It's just funny going to a bar and just watching people, I mean, obviously some people are passionate Golden State fans, but most of the people, this is Vancouver, and most of those people are just casual watchers, and I just find it so weird that they're all cheering for Golden State. Like, what?
Yeah, it does seem to be, like, low-hanging fruit to me whenever I see someone in Golden State Warriors merch, although, you know, it's just like a profit-sharing league. It doesn't matter what team you cheer for, but you're cheering for the NBA, but still, it's easy to pick on Golden State Warriors supporters who aren't.
Look,
yeah, you have to have a picture of yourself. You have to have a picture of yourself supporting the Warriors from 4 to 5 years ago.
Exactly. That's why I can't wear Golden State Warriors gear. You can't catch me in a t-shirt or a hat.
No, you just gotta wear a Monte Ellis.
Yeah, or Baron Davis. Yeah. Legitimately have been following the team since Monte Ellis, since Baron Davis and AK-47, but. You have to have this conversation beforehand because it's like, oh, what, you're cheering for the 73-win team? You're cheering for the guys that are obviously going to be in the finals? I get why that's not, like, I get it. I'm just saying, as a fan of the sport, like, go back and watch some of those old series that people like to harken back to and be like, oh, yeah, the bad boy Pistons back in the day or the Spurs locking people down with defense. Those are fucking brutal to watch. They're horrible basketball. They're not entertaining at all. The scores are low, not because they're fucking defensive stalwarts. It's because the offenses were terrible. The game's
also,
never been better.
Also, they could get away with so much.
I'm saying, to watch the game, it's never been better. The ball's never flown around as fast. The shots that are going in, it's so much fun to watch. This is the best time in basketball, and we should be enjoying it. We're all spoiled by the greatest.
They've never had this many superstars. Never.
Never. And I think, like you said before, this is either the greatest team assembled or the number two. We should be enjoying that, but everybody wants to hate on them. We're all spoiled right now that we live in a time where the greatest basketball ever played is being played, and we just watched it.
Yeah, but my counter-argument, though, is that it could be way better. Like, if Kevin Durant was just on OKC, imagine how incredible the playoffs would have been.
I'm tired of watching that shit. I'm tired of watching Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook take turns iso-balling.
Okay, that's not what... Well, then, okay, he goes somewhere else. But the point is that if he was not on Golden State and he was on another team... we would have had incredible playoffs. Instead, the playoffs, you know, weren't that great, even though the basketball was good. But
I don't
the games weren't close.
And this is
but
the,
that's
this
only
been the mainstream
this
from
great
the
Warriors team simply wouldn't exist. So you'd say that that's preferential, a reality where this team doesn't.
Yeah, we have so many superstars, it'd be awesome if they were more spread out.
That's true. And that's what Adam Silver's got to want. But I agree with what Jordan's saying. Like, it's fun to watch the Warriors, really. They're like the Globetrotters now, basically. That's what the league is.
I don't know. I think it's beautiful to me that you've got a team where a guy like Steph Curry and a guy like Kevin Durant can resign themselves to being a cog within the offense and play team basketball.
That's difficult to do.
And make the open pass and things of that nature. If you're a basketball fan, if you've ever... Man, to me, it's beautiful basketball to watch, and that's what you should be pulling for. I don't want to see KD on another team where everyone's looking at him. They're looking at him to ISO at the end of the game, and when he sits on the bench, his team's a minus whenever he's at. Like, I think we're all being spoiled right now by some of the best basketball, and we should appreciate that.
I refuse to appreciate it.
Also, You know, Draymond Green was like a second round pick who just developed into this. Like, it's all about our perception of them, right?
We're yeah,
like, oh, these four huge titans. But it's just a team that drafted well and they signed one big free agent.
Yeah, I give you that, but you're still ignoring enormous context. Right? Like,
always do.
They had already won 73 games, and then they added Durant. Like, and that was also what was cool about the Warriors, is that they were a completely homegrown team.
They were.
And that made them so fun to watch, the fact that they developed into this juggernaut when you wouldn't have expected that. Like, people thought, oh, Curry, Thompson, yeah, great shooters. Draymond was obviously an unheralded player early in his career, second round pick. Harrison Barnes was a guy that that people were talking about. He's the guy to build around.
Yeah, he had way more hype than Steph or Clay coming out of the draft.
Yeah, and he ended up being the worst player on their starting five and getting shipped out. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not. I think the thing that I am happy, at least going forward, is you have at least two teams that are not, that are going to try and beat the Warriors, and they're going to try very hard. I would say maybe three teams, actually, because for sure, Houston is not wasting a single more year of James Harden's prime.
Nope.
So they're coming for the Warriors, and obviously San Antonio is not wasting a single year of Kawhi Leonard's prime, because those guys are generational talents. You cannot waste their prime.
And don't forget, the Spurs had them on the ropes for the first half of Game 1.
Yeah. I mean, they've got that pop factor. And then I think it'll be interesting with Chris Paul, because if Chris Paul comes with the Clippers, obviously the Clippers are going to make a run.
If the Warriors win the next six titles, at the beginning of every season, we'll all be able to convince ourselves that anything is possible. That every season we'll be able to convince ourselves that this team looks good.
Not going to happen.
I think it's going to be harder. It's going to be less artificial in the sense, because Curry being criminally underpaid, ending this year, he's going to be paid the max.
Yep.
So they can still keep everyone because they have bird rights, but they definitely cannot. It's going to be tough to fill out their roster. You're definitely going to have to lose some guys.
And I mean, this is a year where, thank goodness, knock on wood, that like both of the teams that we expected to be in the finals made it there relatively injury-free for their main parts. That's not going to happen for the next 6 years.
Agreed.
The reason Steph Curry is criminally underpaid is because he was an injury risk for the first however many years of his career. Like, it's not going to happen. KD's missed entire seasons. It's not going to happen. All it would have taken was one ankle turn the other way. If it wasn't Kawhi's ankle, it was KD's ankle, what are we be talking about right now?
So it's like, you're saying, well, everyone may look at it like, oh, we have this team that's going to be an unbeatable juggernaut for years on end. You look at it like, you know, it's precious and it could end at any time.
Yeah, it's so still appreciate sports. It. I think that instead of wanting Golden State to come down a notch and for them to have one less star, for them to be one notch less excellent, I think we should be happy that it's driving the rest of the league to get up to their level. Agreed. That we saw the Cavaliers set ridiculous records in game 3 or whatever it was to keep up with them in game 4 to beat. Like, I think that's what we should be striving for. Everyone get better and beat them. Not, oh, let's get Adam Silver to make a rule to make them trade KD for basketball reasons. No, man.
Well, they did make it so that there's much greater financial incentive to stay, which I think is the best way to do it, because I'm definitely way against hard caps. I think that's stupid. Just owners end up keeping all the profits, and the players get robbed, like how they're getting robbed in the NHL. How LeBron's getting robbed, like they're worth way more money than they're getting paid. So I'm definitely against the cap. I think I like the idea instead, just allow teams to overpay to keep their own guys and to go over the cap and pay luxury tax. I think that's a good idea. So those are good rules. I mean, I just don't want to get into a situation where it's way too top heavy. I don't know, just as a Raps fan. Just watching, I just love this team, like the way they've developed. And it's disappointing to think if they get to a point here where even though they have a good team, they just have zero shot at doing absolutely anything.
Well, I mean, take the Warriors out of the league, they're still not getting out of the East as long as LeBron's around.
Yeah, but you can beat LeBron. Obviously, the Raptors aren't there yet, but you can beat LeBron without a superstar. It's been done before. When Dallas beat him, Dirk was no longer a superstar. You know, so that was a superstarless team that beat him.
He was playing like a superstar.
Kind of, I would say so. Offensively, he was, but defensively, he wasn't.
Yeah, he's never.
You guys talking about? Are you guys talking about the 2011 final?
We did. We went way back. But having said that,
that's
LeBron's
an epic finals. So, I love that final.
That was
so
great,
much.
But it's also not the same LeBron. That was young.
LeBron's never been better, which is fucking terrifying.
Yeah, but I don't want to ever doubt him, but 33 now. I mean, at some point, he's got to start slowing down. I think it's just cerebrally, he was by far his strongest this year. And that helped a lot with his assist totals. And also, it seemed like...
And the motherfucking three-point shot.
Three-point shot, yeah.
That opens up his game like crazy. I mean, the amount of times I've seen him in series where the coach's design was to give him room all the way up until the free throw line, and he would look hesitant in his offense. Man, LeBron hitting pull-up threes on you is a terrifying proposition.
The funny thing is like, it obviously they weren't going to that extreme level, but, like, teams were still, like, the Raptors still gave him a three. They're like, you know, fuck it, we're not going to put, you know, our guys right up on him. Like, and then LeBron shot 60%, I think, from three.
Yeah,
in the series, and so, okay, you lose, you get swept. I mean, there's nothing you can do, right? Because playing up on him, that's not going to work. He'll just drive by you.
Yeah. He was going to drive by you to begin with. Now it's even easier.
Yeah.
Also, another thing is, the book mentioned this in the last show, is like, you know, LeBron gets older. Like we're talking about what the decisions of the Raptors organization. And it's like, and we were saying that you can't base it around the current, like, situation.
Because it changes,
the conference, because it changes. Because, like, what's going to happen to the Milwaukee Bucks? And then the other side of the conference, like...
And the Sixers.
The Timberwolves. And the Sixers. Like, what happens is those teams develop.
Oh, yeah.
And they could make...
And it happens really quickly, too, sometimes. Exactly. Especially for the Bucks, because they already have a superstar, right?
It happens before you know it.
If you wait for LeBron to get old, all of a sudden Giannis is in his prime.
Suddenly Giannis is shooting threes. That's all he's...
Oh.
The Timberwolves have Tom Thibodeau coaching up, you know, Zach LaVine, Rubio, Kat.
I had hopes for more
Andrew Wiggins.
This season.
I am off. I shouldn't say off, but, like, I am no longer on the...
Yeah, I'm riding the fence on
the
that
The Wolves
one.
Are the future. They're future champions. They might be, but, like, man, this was the year. Like, people, like, legitimate NBA analysis, people like that I follow on Twitter that I respect their views on basketball, were predicting them. Like, one guy predicted them to win 50 games. Like, people were definitely picking them to make the playoffs.
I wanted them to make some noise. Yeah.
I thought for sure they'd make the playoffs.
All they needed was a new logo. They have it. Hey, everything changed for the Warriors when they got their new logo. I was thinking about this the other day. They got the new logo, they got David Lee, and everything was set into motion. And
I think, more importantly, they got the logo. Jerry West, who is now reported to be leaving the Warriors for the Clippers, their former arch rivals and nemesis.
Jerry West is a fantastic basketball mind.
Well, I think it'll be good. I don't know exactly what role he's taken on, but I think Doc.
Somebody at the table with Doc.
Yeah, I think it'd be better if he's kept to coaching. You know, it's just a thing, like, I respect Doc, but he has not been able to round out his rosters. I mean, they just hasn't worked out.
They put the worst Clipper lineup on the floor this year in their last game that I've ever seen under this current Clipper regime.
Man, I think changes are coming.
I do too.
So he is joining an advisory role. So yeah, that's good.
So if we seamlessly traveled into, like, free... like. Should we talk more about
I couldn't
the Warriors?
Pass up that logo.
Are you happy for? Are you happy for Kevin Durant?
Sure. I mean, Durant seems like a cool dude.
His mom is goes everywhere he goes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, their relationship seems pretty genuine, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think for Kevin Durant, first of all, it's like he's 10 years in the league now. And for all of these 10 years, every year they get bounced out, and every year the conversation is, Russell Westbrook is too selfish, he's been taking shots away from KD, he needs to pass to KD, blah, blah, blah. Whatever you want to call it, they play a lot of ISO basketball there, and he wanted to just be a guy. He just wanted to be one of the guys, and that's one of the things he said on the end of the season podcast with Bill Simmons. He was talking about how happy he was to have just come in and to just be one of the guys. Like, guys weren't looking at him to be the vocal leader. They weren't looking at him to be the man. He was just one of the guys. So I'm totally happy for him. I'm absolutely happy that he got to go, and we got to see the best offensive player playing within the best offensive system. What more can you want?
He arguably was the top defensive player in the finals.
Yes, and this is something I talked about.
Draymond was good, but I felt like LeBron was still able to take it to Draymond. Whereas Durant was really guarding everybody and doing a good job.
Yeah, this is something I saw when they played against OKC last year, and this is what I was fucking preaching to everybody who would listen to me this year is, yeah, of course, KD, he's the man. He's the best offensive player. But, and I don't know if I talked about this in the last one, but in conversations, I mean, he's always number two. That's what everybody says. He's always number two to LeBron. Obviously, LeBron's better. If KD's better at scoring, does that mean that's because LeBron's better at defense and passing and all the other things? I think this series was a big point for KD to boost up his defensive reputation, because the Warriors were asking a lot of him. He was playing down low a lot. I mean, this is a guy who started his career as a two guard out on the wing, and this guy now, he's playing a lot next to fucking Draymond Green down there in the paint. How many fucking blocks did he average this series? Like, he was killing it as a rim protector for them.
In game two, 5 blocks, I believe.
5 blocks! This is a guy who was a shooting guard.
Yeah, they didn't lose anything defensively when Draymond sat, which is great.
Although he barely sat. He played heavy minutes.
What team has their rim protector grab the rebound, dribble up the court, and hit a pull-up three in LeBron? What?!
Do you agree with Paul Pierce saying Kevin Durant's the best player?
Paul Pierce has said some insane stuff.
Also, there's history between him and LeBron.
Yeah. Inflammatory statement.
I think Durant was a point there last year, and then this year, I think especially just because of the crazy statistical years that Westbrook and Harden put up, where I think there was plenty of legit like basketball minds and stuff that would put him out of the top five, which we clearly see now is ridiculous. But like I think there'd be plenty of people that would go LeBron, Harden, Westbrook, Curry, Kawhi in some order, right? As the top five.
Are we talking like valuableness to your team,
like,
or
best
just
player?
Okay,
and that's clearly not the case. Like, obviously, I think without a doubt, Durant's better than Westbrook. I think he's without a doubt better than Harden.
Yep.
And without a doubt, better than Curry.
I'd
put Curry number three, actually.
I love me some Curry, too. The motherfucker's my height.
But I still put LeBron one. LeBron averaged a triple-double incredibly efficient and was just a force.
The efficiency is something that, yeah, we've never really seen at this rate. I mean, he's always been the volume guy on every team he's been on. For him to come out with efficiency like this...
He struggled at the end of game three there. Like, and he definitely slowed down in games, but like he was getting no rest and he had to do so much. And then late in games they were making him guard, like he had to guard Durant as well.
He had to, I think, is a big point to make in this one, because all the way through the Eastern Conference he's been hiding on guys named Damari Carroll on defense and just chilling, just relaxing. There's no hiding against the Warriors.
Like, he wasn't just relaxing. He's a very good help defender. And so what they'd use him for.
He's always been, a great help defender and always making those typical LeBron free safety steals.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he loves to do that. You don't get to do that against the Warriors. You better stick your ass to Kevin Durant's chest.
You know, a recurring theme through, like, ever since the Cavs Big Three came together is that Kyrie and Kevin Love have always been terrible when LeBron's not, like, there. Like, they always go have losing records in the regular season when LeBron was out, like, the first season when he was out for those 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like Kyrie and Kevin Love can't hold down the fort together.
Well, it's funny because I think it's just clear of their makeup, right? Like, they're not...
They're both non-.
Kyrie's not... He's not terrible, but he's also not a great number one guy on your team.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like an average number one guy. And Kevin Love is a very average number two, right? It's when you bump them down, Kyrie's a great number two guy to play off LeBron and Kevin Love. It's funny because you look at this series, and I think Kyrie and Kevin Love came off looking fine. Kyrie played poorly at the beginning there. Kevin Love had some moments where he lost his shot, but generally they both played well.
Kevin Love had a 27-point game, like a 21-rebound game. Like
he also played great defensively. He had a six steal game.
Yeah,
like he
was a player in the series, and, which he wasn't last year.
And he could guard, right? Like they could have him out there, and he was guarding perfectly fine. Like, and Kyrie at times just took over the series. He's by far the best finisher at the rim. He might be the best pure scorer in the game, and. Yeah, he's not a great defender, but he at least worked. Like, he's not a guy that was... At the end of the day, it was the role players that the Cavs didn't step up and were just out. And the fact that Love and Kyrie played well, but they obviously didn't play as well as Curry. And Thompson, you know, his shot wasn't always there, although it did come on big time. I think it was just game one, actually, that he struggled with his shot, and then he had it for the rest. But defensively, he was a force.
He had his shot where it needed to be, but at no point after... He never went crazy. He never went laser beam coming off of screens, shooting it in your eye.
Well, he had the one game, right? Game...
Three?
Yeah, game three.
Yeah,
When he went for 30. And I think
it was the beginning of that game, right?
The
first quarter,
and
he just started
like 5 for 5 from three.
But there were a couple more points in the series where he tried to do that. I mean, you can always see with the Warriors, whatever, Klay hits one, and they always want to feed him the second one. He never really went crazy. But, I mean, you could say the same for Steph Curry. He never really went crazy with his shot from three off the dribble, but when that was the case, he would take it to the rim. He got a lot of points in the paint.
Yeah.
I think that's what was great to see from Steph Curry is... Especially in the last game there. It looked like he took a few shots trying to throw some daggers at the Cavs and put them away. And a couple times he would do the Steph Curry throw up a three and run the opposite direction and it actually missed. And I was like, uh-oh, this might be trouble. He just started taking it to the rim with those Draymond Green underneath the basket, those totally still legal screens. You guys know the ones I'm talking about underneath
in the
paint?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Well, yeah, he was... They were doing a lot where Draymond was... basically, like, just boxing out his guy. And it was...
Just getting offensive positioning and then keeping it.
Yeah. And it was actually pretty clever use of that. Just knowing that the way they have to play him. It's funny, though, because I was thinking, Curry, like, never really had a shot going. But then he, like, look at the stats. And he still shot 39% from three. Like, those are still good numbers. And Klay still shot 42.5% from three. But Steph, though, that's always been underrated part of his game, just because he's such a great three-point shooter. He's a great finisher of the rim. Like I was saying, Kyrie's the best. Steph's probably top 10, like, finisher of the rim.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. There. As far as point guards, yeah, you put him right.
I would say, just like any guard. Like, just his ability. He's just got such an array of shots. He can go, even though he's not very tall, he can go so high off the glass that it makes up for it, right?
Oh, yeah. I think Steph Curry is as good at those spinning layups and finishes as humanly possible you would expect to be. I feel like, in a way, Kyrie is almost the Steph Curry of those layups, where a lot of the shots he put up, she's like, no way, you can't come up and under and back under again and then spin it off the top corner of the glass, but... Kyrie's crazy.
That play when Kyrie landed on a guy's ankle and turned his ankle and just kind of and threw it out and still hit it. And I was like, what? You literally hurt yourself this play.
Yeah.
Was that in the Boston series or in the finals?
I believe it was the Boston series,
I remember that. Yeah. That was crazy. And it just tied up, shoot tied up. Steph Curry has a lot of emotional maturity to know that he'll never win a finals MVP.
Mm. He should have won it, though, that year that Iggy won it.
Right. Yeah.
And he was also really good at just getting to the line, too. He 15 times in the last game, game 5. Game 2, 14 times, and he was hitting them all.
So what do you think the Cavs should do? Congrats, Warriors. You did it. Here's to many more titles. What should the Cavs do? Should they load up with another superstar?
I think they have to try, yeah. You got to try and get somebody. People are going to be available, right? We'll see what their cap situation's like.
Is Paul Millsap a free agent?
Yes. Yeah, Millsap's
He'd be good on the Cavs, right? Not defensively, maybe?
I don't know. Millsap's a great defensive player.
Yeah. So he'd be good on the Cavs.
He certainly would great. Help that team big time. It's just... I feel like that's... I feel like the guys that they would mostly be... Because right now, I would say the three big names that the Cavs could realistically get, they would have to clear cap space for sure. So they definitely have to be trading somebody. Paul George, Jimmy Butler, and Carmelo Anthony. The two best players are Butler and George. I would argue George would be the best fit for them. Like, if they had George, like, you know, maybe they have to dump Love, I guess, because they have to clear cap space.
I think you have to at this point.
Well, I just mean you literally have to in order to get him, right?
But also you have to just because he's not working out.
But the thing is, Love, like, he came off looking fine in that series.
No, I know,
right?
but ultimately your goal is to beat the Warriors, not just to make the finals again. We know they can make the finals again, and we know that they probably do win titles if the Warriors don't
exist. Well, if you dump Love and it's to precipitate a deal to get George, then yes, I'm on board with that. Because, okay, you got a little bit of a hole there with the big, but you're also now can throw some killer small ball lineups that are probably going to close anyway. So you can just find someone that you can plug in there in free agency, like a David West type that Golden State found. Like, just someone in there that can start games,
yeah,
but they're not going to close games, right? Because you can definitely run George and LeBron there, the 3 and the 4.
And you need more athletic perimeter defenders.
Yeah, that's the first thing. That's the first thing that comes to mind is they need another defender.
Well, that's like Paul George would be a perfect guy to bring in if you're trying to beat Golden State, because he can switch on everyone on Golden State.
Yeah, lengthwise, that's as close as you're getting.
And like he's a guy that you can like that can switch on to Curry, and he would actually be your best guy to put on Durant. So. Apparently, Indiana's looking to keep him, and he's not available, but, I mean, I'm sure he is. Like he's
Didn't Larry Bird quit, though? Who's
yeah,
the new...
Larry Bird's out.
Oh, man.
Who's the new president of the Pacers?
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, I think it's, No, never mind. I was gonna say Jeff Littleman, but he went to the Magic.
So what did you guys think of the finals and the playoffs? We started this journey, this podcast journey, at the beginning of the playoffs. How'd you guys like them?
We did.
Did you notice that they were...
I didn't like them.
You didn't like them at all, eh?
No. I thought last year was far superior. It just didn't have the drama for me.
Right.
I still watch them. Like, I like basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, in terms of all of the playoffs that I've watched... That's probably the worst one.
Yeah. Hard to defend. All the teams not named Golden State, not that great.
And just the fact that the Cavs, like, they were already the big favorites. The fact that they took on the Raptors without Lowry, Isaiah, you know, without Isaiah in Boston, like, it's like, come on. Like, they didn't have their best players.
Right.
And they still somehow managed to drop a game.
And then San Antonio, Kawhi goes down.
Goes down. Like, that just ruins that series.
James Harden has a disappearing act.
Yeah.
Late in that series.
I mean, the fact that Kawhi didn't finish that series was super lame. But then it was amazing to watch the ragtag team of Spurs just demolish the Rockets. But yeah, and then...
And OKC Houston
underperformed. Blake Griffin gets hurt, so we don't even see anything from the Clippers.
Yeah, right. This playoffs was garbage.
Yeah.
You know what? But the through line between all those things you mentioned is I think almost every team had a key injury outside of the Warriors and the Cavs. They're every team you met. I mean, the Raptors with Lowry going down, the Celtics, IT went down, Blake Griffin, like, Kawhi. The guy went down on every team.
Harden definitely was not 100%. Yeah, there's just a lot of disappointment there in that. I'm trying to think, like, what the best series was.
Finals, I would say.
I mean, just, like, closeness, longevity of it. I don't know.
Boston-Washington?
I felt like the only playoff series.
But Boston-Washington only had one close game, though.
Yeah, true.
Which was an amazing game. Might be the best game of the playoffs. No. Yeah,
what happened?
Yeah, but
Game 7 was close, too. And Game 2 and Game 7 were good.
Oh, true. Game 7. And Olynyk.
Killed Olynyk.
That was awesome.
Kelly!
You know, I had a guy tell me that if Isaiah Thomas hadn't gotten injured, that the Celtics would have won the championship.
Oh, really?
And I looked at him as a Celtics fan and thought, are you insane?
Do I know this guy?
Oh, you know him.
Okay.
That being said, boys, what do you say we wrap it up? Have we said all there is to say?
I'm excited for next year. I'll say that much.
I'm always excited for next
year. Me too, man. I want to see the Cavs retool. I want to see
some young teams kind of come together here.
Exactly.
Let's see the Sixers take the next step.
Oh, I hope Joel Embiid can
play
stay healthy.
Oh, yeah, we're all praying for Embiid.
I don't know, though. I just don't believe.
No. You don't have to know. Just trust. Just trust the process.
The process. Yeah, I just love basketball, man. I want to see what all these franchises do. I want to see, you know, if Devin Booker develops, you know. I want to see if...
Timberwolves?
In a way, it feels like the league is rebuilding almost.
I really want to see the Pelicans, though. A full, like, getting the
training camp
in.
What are they
going to
do?
I want to see that 1-2 combo. I think it started to kind of come together there at the end. It was a big... It's just a big change to bring in Cousins to that lineup. To just, like, make a mid-season adjustment. I think it'll help a lot, having a whole training camp. Actually, like, really... It's just such a unique thing to have, especially in today's NBA. I think you really gotta, you can't just run what everyone else is running. You gotta work something
exactly
specifically to what you have. And so I'm really interested. Alvin Gentry, for whatever his flaws are, he's always been considered a good offensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what he can draw up. I don't know. I think they'll be interesting.
Who better to build the antithesis to the Warriors than a guy that came from
that helped build the Warriors?
Staff. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I've always thought if everybody's gonna play small ball on you, then go big.
And they're such talented and versatile bigs too. Like, they're guys that can exist in the new NBA. They're the types of bigs you want.
And DeMarcus Cousins has to want to get to the playoffs at some point, right? So, lots to look forward to next year. Hopefully, HW Sports will be popping off. And from this podcast, it was great launching it with you boys. Look forward to the summer for a free agency special and season previews. And from HW Sports, we want to say congratulations to the 2017 Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. Beep, beep, beep.
The best team ever.
Yeah.
And
greatest team ever assembled?
Yes. And because I became a basketball fan in 2008. Before that, I know nothing. So
that's what I'm talking about.
Hats off, Warriors, and enjoy your summer. Sports.
Technical, number 23, 3-second violation, number 11. Traveling, number 4.